U.S. President Joe Biden has expressed his willingness to reverse Trump's policy regarding the JCPOA and to rejoin the deal. However, his administration has so far refused to take any meaningful action to gain Iran's trust and come back to compliance. External influences may have been a contributing factor. The U.S. president has reportedly met with the head of the Israeli regime's intelligence service, Mossad, in Washington, D.C. last week and told him his country isn't close to returning to the Iran nuclear deal. Biden reportedly said the United States has a long way to go in talks with Iran before it agrees to return to full compliance, comments that appear to have been assurances to Israel, which is a vehement opponent of the deal. The Mossad chief also reportedly asked Biden not to rejoin the accord without improving it first.
Well, Yossi Cohen, meeting with Jack Sullivan, Biden's national security advisor in Washington, with Biden just happening, mind you, happening to drop by the talks, is a clear indication that it's outside pressure and it's aimed at making inside demands and inside controls on the American government by the Israelis to reject and ditch the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The Israelis are probably afraid that someone might ask questions about why the JCPOA applies only to Iran and why isn't there not one that applies to Israel, India, and Pakistan, other nuclear states, with a very unstable track record. So I think that it is pressure from the inside, pressure under the table, if not subterranean.
Iran says the ball is in the U.S.'s court to return to the agreement and remove all its sanctions on Tehran, or pursue the failed policy of its predecessor, known as Maximum Pressure Campaign, and push ahead with its hostile policy against the Islamic Republic.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be with you guys today. And of course, with my wonderful friend and sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's really an honor for me to be here.
So today we're going to continue talking about nutrients and special foods, fruits, vegetables that parents can take before the pregnancy in order to prepare their bodies for the growth and development of their child. Now, we talked about vegetables, we talked about fruit, we talked about certain drinks and beverages, certain soups, but make sure to check it out first. I mean, these are all general tips. If you want to apply to it to yourself personally, you got to make sure it personally applies to you.
Every woman, whether pregnant, pre-pregnant, or post-pregnant, should have all these in her refrigerator.
Yeah, or even not pregnant at all. God knows with the hectic lifestyles that we have now, some of us barely get any time to cook or eat. So
some
this
of
is
us
self-care, right?
Exactly.
We constantly talk about self-care and it's been trending so much on these last few years on social media. This is one form of it. Don't think that, it's so hard to get. Where am I going to find it? Just buy yourself a few bottles. You don't need to put like half a gallon in a cup, right? It's like a tablespoon of each and you'll be set for 6 months. And inshallah ta'ala, you'll reap the benefits in the future when you're older, when your body is just done absorbing anything, you'll have all this in your storage.
Exactly. People in the past, they would go to public baths and they would spend half a day. These were like self-care.
We
think
like
that
a spa.
Exactly. They would go there. They would get massages, right? they would put the deprecatory powder and then the henna. Mm. This is skincare. And this was done while chit-chatting with other women and having fun, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And then coming out and drinking natural drinks, mm-hmm. like the Serkan Gabin. They would give themselves detoxins. Mm-hmm. They would drink and they would also apply on their bodies. That's no wonder why a lot of them were, like, healthy.
Healthy, really
and
healthy.
They had so many children, and they didn't have iron deficiency.
MashaAllah.
Right, because of self-care, ladies.
Yeah.
So another source of iron I would like to mention is the beans, mm-hmm. especially chickpeas. Mm. Chickpeas are, I have recently fell in love with chickpeas.
I love them, too.
Because they are so nutritious.
They're so versatile. You turn it into hummus, to curry, to salad, to with rice, with bread.
Exactly.
They're so good. Guys, chickpeas are your friends.
For example, just hummus, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. it's sesame paste. Mm-hmm. You add it to the chickpeas, mm-hmm. and you add some garlic. And
some olive oil
mm. and some fresh squeezed lemon. Oh, it's so good.
And you blend it up and it becomes creamy.
And you enjoy yourself.
Yeah, so some carrots.
Yeah.
Dip some carrots, some celery, some cucumber
gorgeous.
In it.
They're
and
gorgeous.
It's really really low in carbs, zero carbs almost. It's filling, it's nutritious, it's high in fiber, it detoxes your body. What else could you possibly ask for?
All these blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah. And then...
Oh, and just something else, Sister Razia. I think a lot of people might be having this on their minds, that chickpeas are really gassy.
Yeah, you have to soak them before.
Aha.
2 days or... 24 hours before making
right.
them, just soak them and then
keep
make
changing
them.
The water and
yeah.
you should be good.
Yeah, that
okay.
would be perfect. Also, one recipe that I found somewhere is that this lady was saying, use half a kilo of milk, boil chickpeas in half a kilo of milk,
uh-huh.
let it completely drain,
okay.
and then have the chickpeas. They're filled with iron. And
interesting.
This is very easy.
I actually read a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I used to do this back in the days when I had time to cook, and my body really needed it, obviously. So basically, Rasulullah taught us to cook mutton with milk.
Oh, I read that too.
And subhanAllah, Sister Razia, you have no idea what a succulent, perfectly flavorful,
so
rich food it is.
I know.
It's so lovely.
I know. When my sister had a miscarriage, mm-hmm. we made this for her. And also when my mom or dad were like feeling weak and sick, my sister would make exactly what you said. She would boil meat, and to make it easy, she used
minced meat. Exactly, yeah.
With milk, and there we go.
Yeah, and it's such a yummy food.
It's so good.
You guys can like add some onions, garlics, tomatoes, or spices, or whatever you want to it, and it tastes really
nice.
It's
ready to go. Very easy, very healthy, very good detoxins. So, also, I would like to add some points about sources of calcium.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because pre-pregnant woman needs to restore a lot of calcium mm-hmm. because while she is pregnant, a lot of it, you see a lot of women getting
cavities
after pregnancy because they are very low in calcium sources.
And it's so sad. Like I've seen some of my friends, she's this young, beautiful woman, after a baby or two, all her teeth are blackening.
Yeah.
And this and that, and her smile isn't as beautiful and as radiant as it used to be.
A lot of women who haven't had the self-care maybe would...
Exactly. You have to invest.
Invest in yourself. So, figs. Soak dried figs and drink the juice.
Uh-huh.
What I do, I take... My father, actually, he takes dried peach and dried fig. He soaks them and he mixes them.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you buy this peach juice from the store, it tastes exactly the same.
Ah.
And it's so good, especially for constipation and filled with calcium.
MashaAllah.
And iron.
Ah.
Milk and dates. Mm. They are so
yes.
good.
Yes.
They are absolutely good for increasing the immune system of your body. Just milk and dates. You shouldn't add fruits to milk. Do not drink milkshakes that are with fruits. They're very bad for your stomach. The only thing you can put inside is dates. The only thing that you can add to milk and, you know, a date shake.
And it's very refreshing.
Zainab, I want to give you a golden recipe that I usually make for myself. It's so good. Tahini.
Sesame paste.
Dates, nuts, and milk. There you go.
MashaAllah, that's hearty. That's like a meal.
It's so, this tahini makes it like so healthy and so filling. And I've been wanting to make it for a couple of days. I haven't had the time.
Inshallah.
This is super good and super light. You can put any kinds of nuts that you like, but pistachio I find to be very good. As I said, they're also very high in iron. You can put almonds,
dried coconut flakes,
walnuts, hazelnuts.
Yum.
These are so good.
And for those who suffer from lactose intolerance, these things, as Sister Razia mentioned, the sesame paste, the date, the nuts, they're warm in nature. And they, when mixed with the milk, which is actually really, really cold, which is what causes that lactose intolerance, it kind of cancels each other out. And I think it would sit better with your stomach. Try it out. Worst case scenario, replace it with lactose-free milk or oat milk, almond milk, whatever floats your boat.
These days, you can find wheat milk, all kinds
soy
of
milk,
soy milk, anything that you want. So it's possible and practical for every person. One more thing is curds. Curds are so, they're so high in calcium. And Iranians eat their ash with the curd, which is filled with calcium.
MashaAllah.
This is so good.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
So you have the chickpeas, you have the curd, you have the dills, mint, everything together. They're super good for your body. Also sesame. Sesame is, as I said, it's filled with calcium. Now sesame paste added with milk and honey
and
dates, they're super healthy and super good detoxant and building your physical power and your immune system pre-pregnancy. Also, one more thing, Russian olives, or as we call it, sanjad. It's also super rich source of
calcium.
And I find that the stores have powdered this Russian olive. And they've added some like some additives to it, like maybe some brown sugar or some nuts to it. And they sell it as like a very good...
And dump it in a glass of milk, stir it up and drink it.
Exactly.
Whether you are preparing to get pregnant, whether you've already had your baby during your pregnancy, whether it's just the holy month of Ramadan and you need to eat hearty food that's nutritious, that's natural, that keeps you during the day, or you're just, you know, living your life, you don't want to take chemical supplements, which is totally cool. You take these natural alternatives instead and notice the difference.
Exactly.
And when you have a better and healthier, stronger body, you'll have... you'll feel better, like, in general.
More tolerant, less aggressive.
Less aggressive, less irritable, less anxious, less angry all the time. Through that, and only, almost only through that, can you strengthen your spirituality. If you have a weak body, you really don't have time to think about God, to be honest.
I totally support you. One point about peak aggression and getting angry, easily getting angered, is that people who have lack of, who are suffering from iron deficiency, what happens is that their body starts to absorb lead. And so this lead, this mineral, makes them, causes them so much aggression.
There's actually a hadith also from Rasulullah. His Eminence says, make sure... don't eat meat every day, but don't refrain from it for more than 40 days because it will corrupt your akhlaq, And by that, he means you'll get edgy and angry because of iron deficiency.
Exactly. This is so beautiful. Subhanallah. One more thing that is really good for iron is local farm eggs.
Aha.
You know, not the eggs that they're filled with all kinds of hormones, you know,
the preservatives.
I mean, the chicken throughout the period of, I don't know how many days, a very, very short period of time, from being a small chick, it turns into a
boop, 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 boop,
exactly
hen, and then it lays the egg, the hen and gets slaughtered, eggs get eaten, and it's all hormones.
Exactly. So this kind of egg
free-range, natural farm eggs.
Exactly. And eggs are super healthy for the formation of sperm.
Uh-huh.
So this egg is specially recommended to be eaten by
the
fathers, the fathers pre-pregnancy, right? Mm. And it's better not to fry it in oil and to take it as boiled, part boiled.
Yummy.
This is the best.
A little salt and pepper.
Exactly. And butter.
Yes.
Natural butter.
Oh, no. I'm getting hungry all over again.
Okay, I'm going to mention some other items that would help you build your immune system.
Awesome.
Garlic.
Yes, of course.
Garlic. As they say in the corona pandemic, it is super good to consume raw garlic. Some people take them as pills. Like they turn them into very small pieces, like cubes, and then they just swallow them before breakfast in the morning.
Mashallah.
In hummus.
Yeah.
You can put plenty of fresh garlic, raw garlic. Mm. It's super good. Also for detoxins and for your immune system. Two tomatoes, especially fresh from the season. Olives, and olive oils. These are super good. All these they're used in Italian cuisines or in Turkish cuisines. You see a lot of garlic, olives, and tomatoes,
right? Yeah, exactly.
They're so good. Also, onions, they're super good. Lemon juice, fresh lemon juice. Almonds, dried peach. Fish. Seafood, which is fish or shrimps, also celery, all these, especially if you find organic vegetables and fruits, they would be super
strengthening
for your immune system.
So, you can also have a tomato juice, you guys. I don't know if you do it.
How do you make it?
So tomato juice is basically, you blend the tomato, you can add some salt, some people even add cayenne pepper. It's a juice. A fresh lemon, lime juice, and then you pour it into a tall glass and you stick a celery in it and you drink it. It's really nice. It's really refreshing. Some I refer to it as a version. I forgot the name.
You know, Zainab, back in Canada.
Bloody Mary. That's the name.
Virgin really?
Bloody Mary, yeah.
We had a kind of juice that I found very not interesting, but now I find it interesting. It's called V8. The eight vegetables, right? I don't know what eight vegetables they would add inside, but tomatoes were one. Celery and carrot. You can also put carrot juice inside.
Exactly.
And you just add some lemon juice and some salt to it, and there you go.
Yeah. And
super healthy detoxins.
Exactly.
And filled with iron and minerals.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. There's so much more that we can talk about, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's episode. We've been talking about pre-pregnancy preps that parents can take and the steps to detoxicate their bodies. Until the next episode of Muslim Lady, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life. Keys of life.
Ayatollah Jawadi talks about the various keys of life and has brought about this book to be a companion for the very famous Mafatil Jiran, where one is a tool or the keys for paradise, and this book, of course, are the keys of life.
The Keys of Life, a program designed to tell you that what Islam gives you will help get you home with joy and faithfulness. So, well, listen to
The Keys of Life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi tahirin. My name is Sheikh Zaid al-Salami. A few years ago, I started the course of wanting to commentate on a very important book that I believe is something that would be useful for everyone who reads it, and that is the book Mafatih al-Hayat, written by Ayatollah al-Uzma al-Sheikh Jawadi Amuli. We've spoken about marriage a few times before, and here when we're talking about relationships with your kin, with your family members, obviously you are going to have to deal with the topic of your spouse. The first part of this discussion is on how you are able to deal with your wife, and the second part is how to deal with your husband. And we can see something that is frequently imprinted within the teachings of our religion, Islam, and that is the value of having a wife. You know, when we talk about that level of interest that Islam shows in marriage and why a single person, you know, should always try as much as he or she can to, you know, get married, that level of sakina, that level of tranquility, that level of harmony that a person has when they do get married. We did mention, if you remember, when we were talking about your house, the home, the maskan, and maskan comes from the word sakina as well. How many times has this very word been used, liyaskunu ilayha, in the Holy Quran, that level of sakina? And remembering that when it does come to a married person, the reward, other than him fulfilling half of his religion, Raka'atun yusalliha, as the Prophet says, Raka'atun yusalliha mutazawwij. One raka'a that a married person prays, afdalu min sab'ina raka'a, it is better than 70 raka'as that a single person prays. When we see that whole equation of how we understand things, and unfortunately because of the modern society, because of you know, distancing ourselves away from that which is sacred, that which is holy, our tradition, our custom, the instructions given to us not only by our religion, but also by our forefathers, the positive things, of course, the good culture, the positive culture. You know, someone once says, I'm not into culture, or I don't believe in culture. That's a very, very wrong attitude, because there's positive culture, there's negative culture. But the whole outlook that Islam has on something as important as marriage really invites us to change our perspective, to change our attitude. Islam says, get married and marriage will lead you to sustenance and income and wealth and rizq. In yakunu fuqara, as the verse in the Holy Quran says, in yakunu fuqara, يُغْنِهِمِ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. If you are poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrichen you, will give you the wealth that you need in order for you to be able to get married.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Here the Holy Prophet says, اتخذوا الأهل, get married, فإنه أرزق لكم, because it will bring about rizq for you. It's the best form of you being able to get rizq. Where does rizq come from? It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't come from your employer. It doesn't come from getting a job. It doesn't come from having a degree. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all means. You could have the best job, but then all of a sudden you have back pains and you're not allowed to able to work anymore. You could have no job at all, but be very serious and genuine and vigilant and aware of your responsibilities, your social responsibilities, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up all the avenues for you. Important thing is we need to do what it is that is demanded from us religiously, spiritually, morally, socially, economically, and then we leave the rest for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no, you can't go with empty pockets, obviously. There needs to be something, but at the same time, let's lower our demands. Try to focus more on the sanctity of marriage and not on the ceremonies surrounding a wedding and a marriage. And if we were to do that, we will be more successful. There will be more harmony. There will be more love. And clearly there are going to be more people that are going to get married, and at a young age as well. That's why when it comes to that understanding that Islam has in the Quran, it says, "Hunna libasun lakum." Your wife is a form of clothing for you, a dress for you. وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. Why is the word libas here used? Libas in the metaphor, in the sense of protection, in the sense of sheltering, in the sense of covering, in the sense of concealing, in the sense of perfecting one another and making sure that I am removing any kind of issues that will affect that harmony that I have, because that's the zina. She is your zina. He is your zina. And that's why it is referred to in this metaphor as libas. The hadith from the Holy Prophet says, فَدَارِهَا عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. You need to tolerate mudarat. You need to tolerate and bear with her in any situation, whether it's good, whether it's bad. فَدَارِهَا عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وَأَحْسِنُ الصُّحْبَةِ. And be the best company to your wife. This is the haqq that a husband has, that a wife has from her husband. And this is what the husband needs to accommodate for his wife. Bil ma'roof. The verses in the Holy Quran that repeatedly mention the word al ma'roof. Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. وآتوهن أجورهن بالمعروف الذي عليهن بالمعروف وكسوتهن بالمعروف أو سرحوهن بالمعروف متاعا بالمعروف. All of these verses and many, many more that talk about how a husband needs to remember with benevolence, with grace. والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time. Memories fade like a dusty windowpane, and you can't see your past no more. The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart, there will always be there, be there.
The message of Eagle Fett. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Hello everyone and happy Eid al-Fitr to you all. May Allah accept your fasting and prayers of the blessed month of Ramadan that ended yesterday. Today is indeed a day of celebration. It is a day of festivity which starts with the special prayer in the morning. Please stay with us for an exclusive feature in this regard. O people, indeed this day of yours is the day when the righteous are awarded and the wretched are losers. It is a day which is similar to the one on which you shall be standing before your Lord. Therefore, when you come out of your homes to go to places of your prayer, remind yourself about the day when you, your souls, shall come out of your bodies to go to your Lord. When you stand on places of your prayer, remind yourselves of your standing in presence of your Lord on the Day of Judgment. And when you return to your homes after prayer, remind yourselves about your returning to your homes in paradise. The passage that we just recited to you is part of a famous sermon on the occasion of the Eid al-Fitr, which the faithful celebrate at the end of the blessed fasting month of Ramadan. It was delivered after a special Eid prayer by no less a personality than the barometer of belief, the leader of the pious and the epitome of eloquence, the gateway of wisdom, the commander of the faithful, the leader of the pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The divinely designated heir of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As said earlier, we celebrate Eid al-Fitr with the special congregational Eid al-Fitr prayer, as thanksgiving to the Lord Most High for having given yet another opportunity to partake of the spiritual delights of the fasts of Ramadan. Of course, since last year, we have been fully observing the hygienic and safety guidelines suggested by medical experts in the second successive year of the coronavirus pandemic. Eid al-Fitr is the icing of the cake of Ramadan, and no one understands this better than those who, in obedience to God's commandment in the Holy Quran, and as practically shown by the Prophet and his infallible household, peace be upon them, had not just fasted in this month by giving up food, drinks, and other lawful pleasures during the daylight hours, but engaged themselves in acts of welfare and charity amongst families and friends, as part of effort to build morally upright societies. Perhaps those who had indulged in the cardinal sin of not fasting during Ramadan, in spite of being able to do so, and never cared to repent and seek forgiveness in the court of the All-Merciful Lord, may turn a deaf ear to these bezels of wisdom, and consequently bear the dire consequences of their folly when their tiny souls leave their wretched bodies. The faithful, however, whatever the circumstances, including the adversaries of harsh weather, never give up fast during the brief life of the transient world, and as a result are rewarded with the bliss of paradise. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, whose immortal aphorism that whenever a person hasn't committed a sin, it is a day of Eid or rejoicing for him or her, continues to arouse our conscience, has further said in his Eid al-Fitr sermon, "O servants of Allah, indeed the minimum reward for those men and women who fasted during Ramadan is an angel who calls out to them on the last day of the month of Ramadan, saying, 'O servants of Allah, rejoice at the glad tiding that all your previous sins have been forgiven.'" The Eid al-Fitr prayer is thus a golden opportunity for the masses to strengthen their faith or rectify their behavior by returning to the path of God, and at the time become aware of the dangers threatening the homeland and the Muslim Ummah in view of the plots of the great Satan, the United States. Unfortunately, this year's Ramadan witnessed several bitter and tragic incidents, such as continued desecration of the sacred Al-Aqsa Mosque in the occupied Islamic holy city of Bayt al-Muqaddas by the illegal Zionist regime, which has stepped up its atrocities against oppressed Palestinians, including those Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. In Yemen, Saudi Arabia's unabated military aggression has worsened the situation of the people who never get the respite from bombs dropped by Saudi aircraft. In the Persian Gulf island state of Bahrain, the repressive Al Khalifa minority regime continues its crimes against the long-suppressed majority of the country, to the extent of desecrating mosques and Husseiniyas, whilst backstabbing the Palestinian Muslims by establishing ties with the Israeli regime. In Afghanistan, the cowardly Daesh terrorists, relocated by the Americans from Syria and Iraq, never stopped for a moment their bomb blasts to murder fasting Muslims, with students being the prime target. In Nigeria, Sheikh Ebrahim Zakzaki, the leader of the Islamic Movement of Nigeria, along with his wife and scores of innocent members of the country's Shia Muslim community, continue to be held in prison by the military, despite the orders for his release by Nigeria's federal court. Let us pray to God Almighty to deliver Muslims from all these vices, as well as the satanic plots of the United States and its agents, who are destabilizing the entire world. Amen. And here is what Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said in the concluding passage of his famous Eid al-Fitr sermon. Remember Allah so that He may remember you. For indeed He remembers those who remember Him, and beseech Allah for His mercy and grace. For indeed He does not disappoint those who supplicate to Him.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. One of the issues that doesn't seem to be eradicated and doesn't seem to be disappearing from the humanitarian arena is human trafficking, where in many countries, even in Western developed countries, people are being abducted and people are being sold and trades for either labor or for either sex slaves or for other purposes. So most of these Western countries, either they have their citizens being abducted or some of their citizens are trading humans from other countries, from poor countries, from Africa, South Asia, and these countries. So for more than 20 years or more since we are living in the modern age, because back in the day that was a very normal thing to sell slaves and trade in slaves. But since we've lived in this industrial age and in the technology age where everything is exposed, where the whole world has become a small village, yet we see that nearly 25 million people are being sold and trafficked around the world. And from and the ages from a very, very young age to old ages. So there's no age restriction on those human trafficking people. So they would even trade and sell children from other countries, from Malaysia, from Indonesia, from especially Asian countries. And in other parts of the world where sometimes the parents themselves, they end up selling their own children for money, which is, I don't know how to say this, but it's a very devastating, it's inhumane in any shape, way or form. It's just, it's not something that you could even grasp. Until, like, if you look at the United Nations Charter, the first article, it says that every human being was born to be free and has the basic freedom rights. Yet, you see millions of people yearly are being trafficked, are being sold to other people for their own pleasures and desires. Either they could be abused or either they could be put into hard labor. And in some countries, we're still dealing with issues of children soldiers, where children being sold as either labor workers or soldiers or being trafficked for, you know, to be explored in for sexual acts and sick desires of some people. So that's a very sickening statistics to hear, that 25 million people being trafficked yearly, which is not a small number if you think of it. This is a massive number, and it seems to happen, and everybody seems to be turning a blind eye to it. Now, in an age where everything is controlled, everything is under cameras, everything is online, yet you see people still being trafficked and people are selling and buying, and authorities don't seem to be doing enough to stop such trade, to stop people being sold, abducted, and sold for cheap pennies. Like, they sell them for cheap. And sometimes these people are sold so their organs could be harvested in some other countries. And I have very disturbing statistics that I wouldn't mention here, but maybe in other episodes. Now, let's continue this topic, but let's just take a break first and then we continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Like I began with, one of the issues that we're still facing in our current modern day or time is that human trafficking, where people being sold from one country to another for whatever purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created mankind to be free, to have the free willpower, free life, to do what is best for them. Yet, you can see that other people give themselves a right to come and abduct these people and sell them. And sometimes this happens more often in poor countries, where you see people are suffering from hunger and thirst and, you know, lack of wealth and so on and so forth, where they are in need, and they exploit these people. And most of the times, if you read the statistics, you'll see a lot of them get tricked into a better life. So they say to them, okay, we'll take you to this Western country, we will give you such and such, and we'll offer you this and that. And those people, because they're gullible, because they are in need, they agree to such a thing. And then they hand themselves to these people, to these smugglers. And then they end up being enslaved and enslaved to someone else. Even in Western countries, even recently in one of the Western countries, I don't want to name, that they found houses where there were women from Asia being exploited and being used as sex slaves in a very Western country, like a very Westernized country, where everything, where the laws are tip-top shape. Yet you can see that under the carpet, as we say, there are places where children and females being exploited for and being sold for measly intimacy for someone else. And that's a problem, and that's very inhumane. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took a very strong stand against these smugglers and these people. They don't have such a right. They don't have a right to buy and sell human beings and exploit them for their need. Now, my duty and your duty as well, because at the end of the day, we share a common thing between one another, which is our humanity. In the same way that I want to live a free life, I should expect the same for someone else. I should not agree that someone else should be sold and bought, because they also are free people. Now, we need to make an awareness of such an issue, because a lot of people are not aware. Or if they hear about it, they will, like, you know what? So what? It's just news. No, one should break their hearts. They should feel the pain. They should feel sorrow inside themselves to see such an act still being practiced. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi in the hadith, he says, if someone sees evil act being done, he has duties to do. If he can change it with his hand, so be it. If he can change it with the tongue, so be it. And then he says, the weakest of iman, the weakest of faith, is to reject such a notion in your heart. Not to agree with it, or at least to say to yourself that this kind of action, it makes me sick. Because sometimes we just don't care. Not caring is just one of the worst issues that we could put ourselves in. No, we need to feel that pain in our hearts, that such a thing should not continue, especially in our current times, in our modern age, where human trafficking, 25 million people being sold yearly around the world. We should, such a notion, we should reject it in our hearts before anything else. Or if we can change it with our hands and we know people who are trafficking, then we definitely need to stop such a thing, because it's not very humane. Now, stay with us. Inshallah, we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salli ya Rabbi ala Taha al-Amin, rahmatin arsaltahu lil'alamin.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An interesting Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host, Ali. This radio show is about Islamic lifestyle, and in each episode, we will be talking about a different lesson. Please stay with us till the end of today's program. Today's lesson, the real feast. Feast and happiness after 1 month of fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan is actually the feast of overcoming sensual desires and of obedience to Allah's command. Thus, this is a day of feast only for those who have been victorious in fulfilling their great divine duty and understanding its true philosophy. However, for those shameless individuals, for those careless people who have not respected this great month of Ramadan and its educational program, it is nothing but a day of mourning and disgrace. When after Mahe Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, the blessed month of Ramadan, we go out and celebrate Eid and that feast, it is not something what we generally tend to think of this day as. This is not the day of merrymaking in a way where Allah's commands are trampled over. It is not something where all that spirituality that we have attained throughout the holy month of Ramadan, it goes down the drain. It is not a day where we are actually being careless. Why? Because the month of Allah, that is the month of Ramadan, is over now. It's the other way around. Now, all that spirituality that you had collected throughout the holy month of Ramadan, the day of Eid is when all of that spirituality gets to the maximum height. It takes you through those elevations and you get to the peak of your spiritual height. So this is where we need to be very careful. And a lot of people, they become careless after the Mahe Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, on the day of Eid. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are talking about the real feast, which is the real Eid. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, the day of feast or Eid following the month of fasting is the feast for those whose fasts are accepted and their worship is favored by Allah. And any day in which you do not commit a sin is the day of feast or is the day of Eid. Brothers and sisters, Eid is not, as falsely thought by a lot of people, a useless time to be vainly wasted in diversion, play, and heedlessness. On the contrary, Eid has been ordained to celebrate Allah Almighty and demonstrate His favors on His servants. Praise Him Almighty by them, and be grateful to Him for them. He Almighty commanded His servants on completing the number of fasts to glorify Him and be grateful to Him. As stated in His saying, what means, and this is what I'm going to quote, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful. Brothers and sisters, the holy month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors of His guidance. He opens up the doors of His mercy. And this is the month where we are supposed to be going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a faster pace. You know, this is where we can have a higher velocity. We can accelerate our spiritual journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a blessing of Allah. This is how He designed it for us. Why? Because He's all merciful.